Good morning, my debt-free millionaire zealots. Hey, this is Zach Edwards with another debt-free millionaire podcast and personal finance course. And we are talking about careers today. So let me give you a little bit of my story. Okay, so when I was in high school, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to make my own business. I had been starting businesses for a long time before then, but that's what I wanted to go into business for, or into life after college. So in order to do that, I had to go into college. At least this is my mindset. I need to go to college because, for one, my parents want me to go to college, but two, there's things I needed to learn in order to be ready to do so. So my parents were great. They didn't actually force me into it or pressure me to do it, but they always thought I was going to do something with construction because I was good at it even before I went to college. And so they wanted me to go into, actually, I think they wanted me to go into engineering. But I actually went into college for computer science and I was learning programming. And so there's something I found out about myself is I did not have the patience to learn to debug. So when you're debugging, you're looking at 1,000 lines of code and trying to find the one thing inside the code that's not allowing the computer program to work. I couldn't do that. I had too much of a temper. I was too hot-headed. I did not have any patience. I did not end up staying with that degree. And instead, at that point, because I didn't like that degree, I then chose what my parents had wanted. Again, because I liked it and it was fun and I was good at it, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an entrepreneur and start my own businesses. And computers were a big thing. This is, again, in 2000. So 20-something years ago, it was perfect for going in and learning about computers because there was going to be programming and it was going to be everywhere because the internet was just still in its infancy to some extent. I mean, it was going, but it was still in its infancy to what it is today. And so when I went to college, I started off with computer science and then I went into architecture. So not engineering, I went into architecture because I was in residential construction for a lot of my childhood. And so that was great. I got my degree in architecture and then I went to go get a job, an internship. And I sat in this room with this interviewer and we had the greatest talk, greatest opportunity. And it was actually to go to, I know one was New York, but I don't know if it's the one I'm actually talking about. But this one was basically you'd go and you'd be an intern for this company. They wouldn't pay you that much if this is the one from New York, and you'd still have to pay for your livelihood, your expenses. And I said, I can't do that because I was actually planning to get married. So I found the person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and I was about to get married. So I said, no, I can't do that. And there was another opportunity because I was also learning construction management. And so there was another opportunity to do that, and they paid you a good amount, actually probably the best internship that was available in the school. And so that's what we did. I did. So I went out and I started working for Pulte Homes over in Virginia. I did so well, they actually hired me in Denver, which was another one of the opportunities that was out there. They were looking for people in Denver area. And so I said, okay, so I went through another year and a half of construction management. And then when I was done, I went to go work for Pulte Homes. So here's the thing. If my desire was actually to become somewhat of an entrepreneur, especially because I like computers, to go in the computer range, and even now I'm in video games and programming, so I wish I stayed with it, I probably didn't know exactly who I was. When I found out I didn't like debugging, I could have done something else. But instead, I went back on the thoughts of my parents. But at the same time, I wouldn't give it up. Not at all. Because I went into residential construction, I can now flip a house and not pay any contractors. Well, I probably have to pay like one or two of them. I don't do electrical, I don't do drywall, and I don't do plumbing. Anything that has to do with insurance and anything that has to look with aesthetics, like really fine aesthetics, I'm not going to do. So I get the professionals to do that. But if I hadn't gone into construction, all of my real estate properties, I would not have a paid off house right now. I would not have had rental properties. all these different things because I would have had to pay someone else to do it and it wouldn't have been as lucrative. So again, I don't go back on it. I don't think that I should have done something else. I'm fine with being in construction. But now let's go back a little bit. I want to go into your head. I want you to go into your head. These are the questions I want you to ask yourself. They're very important questions. And this is before you pick any industry you want to go to, any career you want to go to, because this will tell you more about what you will succeed at and also where you could fail at. Now, here's a statistic to know, is that the average person changes careers between 3 and 7 times in their lifetime. 3 to 7 times in their lifetime. My dad, when I first went into college, he told me I need to find a really good job and stick with it for 40 years, well, 20 something years. I said, Dad, people don't do that anymore. People want variety. People want to move up. People want to move around. He's like, yeah, but there's a pension and there's a retirement and there's you'll be able to climb the ladder faster. Well, these days, that's not what happens. It's actually not that way anymore. For instance, when I worked for the state of Alaska, dream job, totally dream job. But my boss was actually the union leader. And he kept on trying to talk me into the union. I hated the union because of what it did. There's some things I did not agree with. And I loved my boss. He was great as a person. But he did some things that I didn't agree with in the union. And so that's another story for another time. But, here's what we came up with is that, funny enough, I don't remember why we got, that's what it was. He said, you know, the state of Alaska destroyed itself when it comes to its employees, when they got rid of the pension and started paying into the 401k. And I looked at my boss and I said, you know that nobody my age and younger wants a pension. We don't want a pension because one, we don't want somebody else holding onto our money and having to rely on them. Two, hopefully that pension will be around in 20 something years to 30 years. We just don't know. We don't trust people for that doing that. The second thing is we want to be able to move around. We want to experience new things. So this is like the 3 to 7 times in the lifetime they will change their job. People like doing that these days. But this is why we are asking these questions, to hopefully bring it down from 7 to maybe 3, or maybe even 3 to 1. And maybe you could change jobs, but in the same industry and not change the career. So, or just move up. That's all we want you to do. So yeah. So let's go through some of these questions and really get down to the nitty gritty of who you are. Okay. First question is exactly that. Who are you really? Are you the person that your parents want you to be, going into the career that your parents want you to go into? Are you the person that your teachers want you to be? Are you the person that are they going to go into the career that your teachers want you to go into? Or do you have your mindset on something else? It is okay if you have your mindset on something else. Now, think of that one thing. What do you want? What would you want to do if money wasn't an issue? All right. That's the first question. Here's the second one. And this has to do with the second question. Second question is, what is it that you want to do for the next 30 to 40 years? Like if you change around different jobs, hopefully you're in the same industry. Hopefully you're doing the same thing. Because if you're not, there's a lot of education and other expenses that come into this. But what do you see yourself doing for the next 30 to 40 years? Also, look at the economy. Look at those industries. Are they going to be around for 30 to 40 years? For instance, I'd love to be an artist. Not me personally, but say I want to be an artist. Is that job going to be around? Is that job, I'm about to go into the next one. Is that job going to pay? Well, now with AI creating illustrations of their own, and no, they're not that well done yet, but they will be. And if they're going to be in the future and they're going to be able to understand what you want, when you want it, yeah, the artist is going to have to figure out a new way of doing it, which might be working with AI to gather the art for the person that their client or their boss. So there are some jobs that might not be around. So think about it. What can you see yourself doing for the next 30 to 40 years that is still going to be there? Again, brings up the third question. What will pay you what you want to make? Say you want to go into, I want to be controversial about these, but these are some of the, their actual careers in some school colleges, some colleges. I want to be a underwater orchestra pianist or a tuba player. I'm sorry, that's cool, but that's not going to pay you any money. I want to be a women's history and social something. Okay, that might pay you if you find the right job, but if there's too many people going in that career, you're not going to find the job. I want to be, let me see, something I wanted to be when I was a kid. I wanted to learn how to fly. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. But I want to be a pilot. I mean, actual flying. Be a pilot? Yeah, that is something that will be around for a long time. Now, the vehicles might change, but they always need pilots, at least for now. You never know. 34 years, it might be pilotless. But there will always be pilots needed to train the AIs, to do some of the work, to... You know what? There will always be people that will need a co-pilot to an AI or to a such and such. There will always be a pilot or someone behind the AI. So a pilot's a great one to be into. So you really have to find out what you want to do, who you are, and what will pay. And then here's the last one that's also very important. And this is really important because there's a lot of things and there's a lot of things that are happening right now where people are picking up, a lot of people in California, a lot of people in New York. Those are the two big places that people are leaving because of some of the legislation, the rules, the taxes that they have. They're out of there. So where do you want to be located? Here's the thing. Nowadays, you could be located anywhere you want. You could be actually a nomad traveling the world and working remote for a company inside the United States. You could be working working on a farm and being an engineer, a lawyer, or something else, working remote for a big city. You could be working anywhere you want. But this is the big thing. You need to know where you want to be. So if you're going to say, hey, I want a career that I can work remote and I want to travel the world. Okay, great. So there are certain jobs you can do where you can do that. You cannot be in construction. You cannot be a plumber. You cannot be an electrician traveling the world as a nomad and working for a company inside the United States. You'll never be remote if you're a tradesman. So, and any kind of most jobs that you're going to get that are going to be working remote are ones that are most likely going to need you to have some sort of degree or certification. So think about that. But say you want to live in, I don't want to live in New York. I don't want to live in California. I don't want to live in Florida. It's too hot there, too humid. I don't want to live in Missouri where I'm at because it's too humid and hot. I want to live in Colorado. Okay. Find out what industries might be really big in that area. Or again, if you're going to remote, it doesn't matter as much. When I wrote this, it was actually before everyone started going remote. So you have a lot more opportunities. But again, there are some that you cannot be remote. Now, here's the other thing. When it comes to being remote or even not being remote, picking your location is very, very important. Because what do you want to do beyond your full-time job? Do you want to flip houses? If you're going to be in California, you're going to pay $400,000 for a house that you want to flip. If you're in Kansas City, you're going to pay about $100,000 on a house you want to flip. Take your pick. So I could actually get a house here for about $20,000 in the Kansas City area. Yes, it needs a lot of work, but that's something I can do. Or I can actually get someone that to work with me to fix that up, because like a plumber here is a lot less than a plumber in New York or in California. At the same time, rent's not that high. It's not as high as New York or California. So there are some pros to being in a place that's more expensive to live, but that also means you have to pay it more. So these are all different things that you need to think about. Now, if you're not a senior, don't worry about it. But also learn that these are the things that you want to, you will be looking at as you get closer to becoming a senior or graduating. So keep that in mind and pick the degree or pick the career where you see yourself for the next 30 to 40 years that is really you and that will actually pay. The location is more of a side note, but it is still important. Okay, so let's go over, I got one more thing to share with you. Let's go over some of the expectations of the older generation, including your parents, well, my parents, not as much your parents, because your parents actually might be millennials, but the old school generation, what were they looking at when they went into finding a job? There were four things, I think, that I have on here. So there are increased pay. They want to get into a place that has a steady increase of pay, whether it's based on their merits or they work for a union and it just goes up at a certain amount every year that they have no control over. But that was their mentality. They wanted to find a place that they could work, a place that they could work the whole 20 to 30 years or even 40 years and not change. But they did want an increase in pay, and they also wanted to be able to increase in their career stepping stones. So basically, they wanted the next job to become successful. So I go in, I go work for my boss. I want to replace him. And I'm going to make him look so good that he replaces his boss. And then later on, I'm going to make him look so good that he's going to replace his other boss. And as your boss goes up the line, you're going to try to take over his job and climb the ladder. That's why they call it the ladder. Another thing they were looking at were benefits. They want health insurance. They want retirement. And then they also wanted, actually, those were the two at that point that they really wanted. Things have changed. So now what about they want a solid business to employ them for the next 25 years, maybe even 30, again, up to 40 years. If you're going from 20 to 60, that's 40 years. Now, the older generation, they are actually really smart because some of them worked for 20 years at one place and got a pension, and then they worked 20 years in another place and picked up a second pension and collected from both of those plus Social Security. So they were pretty well established at age 60 by that point. That is still a way. There are still places that give you, especially when you're in like union and government work, not like pipe fitters or anything like that, but not the trades, but more of like working for the school system, working for the state, local, or federal government. Those ones still have that. So if that's your mentality, those are the things that you want, great. Your federal government has it and all these other places have it. But the millennials have changed this. They're not looking for those things. Now, let's go back to benefits. They are looking for benefits. They would like to have benefits. They want to be able to be know that they're secure. But they don't just want health insurance and retirement. They want life insurance. They want disability. They want accidents. They want alternative types of retirement. They want paid time off. They want maternity leave. They want paternity leave. They want all these different things. And they think they're entitled to it, but that's what they're looking for when they're going to try to start a business, or sorry, try to join a business as a full-time employee. Now, as soon as they become an employer, they're going to be thinking differently because all the people that are going to start working for them are going to want the exact same things. And can they provide it? It's very expensive. And if you're not a big business, good luck on providing all that. So for instance, let's see, my wife, because she works for the schools, gets 3 months off, but a regular federal officer gets like two or 3 weeks off on the first few years. For me, working for a corporation, I got 5 days off and that's it. I got like 3 or 4 holidays as well, but that was it. If I got sick, I lost one of my PTO days. That's just it with the corporate world. So again, this is part of the, which career do you want to go into and can they provide for these wants? Okay, let's go over the things that the millennial wants. They want to feel like they belong. they want to have emotional bond to the company that they're working for. They want to feel like they are well appreciated, well compensated, but they want to feel that there is a purpose of being there, a mission, which brings up the second one, a movement. They want to make change. They want to be part of a company that's changing the world. They don't want to just stick around for a regular company, does a 9-to-5 job that does plumbing or electrical or things like that. No offense to those companies. I have plenty of friends that are in that those lines, but they're usually the older generation. Those that are coming in, they're being taught these things in school, and all of a sudden they want to be part of the change in the world. And sorry to say, you're not much of a change when you're a plumber or an electrician or any of the other trades. I was in the same boat. Okay, the next one they want is they want popularity. They want influence. They want to know that they are a benefit to their peers and to complete strangers. They want to know that they are being praised and appreciated for everything that they do. And I do mean everything that they do. So kids' gloves for sometimes, but they want to know that they are getting something out of this and they're becoming more empowered and more popular by doing it. The next thing they want is they want to do a job based around their interests. So if they're not interested in electricity or electrical, they're not going to want to join this company, join an electrical or electrician or a plumber. Now they might actually like construction, which I like construction, and so they'll want to do it. So it depends, but most millennials, this is the risk of their mindset when they come out of school, your mindset when you come out of school. I'll get into this in just a second. They want to feel good, and also they want to make lots of money. So, but they also want to decrease their hours of work. So Bernie Sanders right now is going around saying, we need to have a 32-hour work week. Well, great. I'm going to give you a 32-hour work week. I'm not going to have to pay any benefits, and I'm still going to give you the pay. Well, that's not what Bernie Sanders is looking for. But the problem is, if I'm a business owner, I'm not going to pay you full salary at 32 hours a week and still stay in business. It's not going to happen. Again, 90%, 99% of the businesses in America are small businesses. You cannot run a small business and do this or have huge amounts of paid time off or a lot of these things. But here's the thing. Here's the but. But working with millennials gives you another mindset of what people are looking for. So you do actually want to work with millennials. You cannot just work with the older generation. They will not be working for that long. So compromising with them, giving them an emotional attachment to the company, making them feel like they're making a change, giving them some influence, maybe not over the public, but maybe over their coworker. There are things you can do to please the millennial and allow them to have fun and be part of this, which also might be, and this is something that's new that didn't really happen in the past, and this is what I do with my businesses. My employees actually have ownership in the company, small amounts, but they still have ownership because I want them to be vested in what they're doing. And all of a sudden, I gave them the sense of belonging. I gave them sense of influence, and they are feeling good because they own part of the company and they're making money. Whether they're making their salary, they're also making value because they own part of the company, which is increasing in value because of how much harder they're working. If they're not working hard, the value of the company is not going to go up. So they want to work hard because they want the value of the company to go up. And they want to be able to, again, make the change. So in this section, it's actually a very short section in the book, but I'm going to actually have you go through what kind of pay you want, what kind of benefits you want, movement, popularity, all these things. I'm going to let you go through and try to figure out who you are and what you want to do, where you want to work, how much money you want to make. And you can actually look by looking at it. Is this actually reasonable? Is it realistic? And what are your priorities when it comes to that? because there's going to be some jobs that are going to give you 1, 2, and 3, but they'll only not give you 4, 5, and 6. You have to be okay with that because you're going to keep working for forever and never finding your perfect job because they don't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They only have part of that list. So be okay with being part of the list. Nobody gets everything that they want. Everyone has to make compromises. Because if you don't have to make a compromise, then neither does the company that's going to hire you. They don't have to compromise just because you want them to compromise. You're not compromising because they're not going to compromise. So no one's going to compromise and no one's going to work. Find a way to compromise. Be okay with not getting all of your list, but look at the ones that are most your highest priority and just shoot for those. Pick your top three. If you want pay, you want benefits, you want movement, great. Those are your top three. Look for a job that gives you those top three. Okay, so that's it for this show. I told you that in this episode, I was going to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing with the influences and partnerships that are coming out to help out Debt-Free Millionaire. Now, here's the thing. So I started up a fundraiser just a little bit ago to fund Zogos Gaming. And this is not to fund the whole thing. It was just to fund the last portion to get it past the MVP stage and to get the whole everything functioning. So we did that. We have it. We're in the process of getting it to be fully functioning right now. But while we were doing that, we were making a lot of money in the fundraiser as much as we were hoping. But we were making tons of money on the outside. There was a lot of people that were finding out about our campaigns. And like nonprofits, they can't donate to the fundraiser, but they can make a contract with your company to do something for them and create a partnership with them. So we found all these different partnerships. So even though you might say you start up a fundraiser and it's not bringing you all the money that you're hoping for, well, that's just how it is. But look for the other opportunities that are out there. There's other things that are, if you're working hard, there's always other opportunities that are coming your way. I now have 2 partnerships because of our fundraiser, because of working hard and getting the information out. 2 sets of people that are going to be funding us with grants and with loans, investments. They want to invest in us. That wouldn't have been in there if I didn't do the fundraiser and didn't do the marketing around it. So when you're looking at this, when you're looking at starting a business, when you're looking at starting a brand, especially if that brand's you, find partnerships, find people that you trust, people that have your same mission in mind, and start working with them. Whether you're getting a full-time job, they're going to be your referrals. If you're running a business, they're going to be people that will help bring in more revenue, whether it's themselves or other people that they know that are going to want to join on. So stay tuned for more on that. Again, this is my challenge to myself that I will make the Debt-Free Millionaire brand a $1 million brand in 1 year. So stick around and we'll show you how. Thank you so much for joining us and we will catch you next time. And again, if you are not a Debt-Free Millionaire zealot yet, I hope to make you one. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.